Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's Easter meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. And on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again?'" And they remembered his words. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our resurrected and ever-living Lord and Savior, dear fellow redeemed. On Good Friday, we heard that it was the enemies of Jesus who understood his prophecy concerning his rising from the dead and not his disciples. That's why there was the guards at the temple, and that's why the tomb was sealed. Had the disciples understood those words and believed them, they would have been eagerly awaiting for Easter morning, looking for a living Jesus. But what do we read in our sermon text this morning? We read of a group of women who are sadly walking to a cemetery to look for the dead body of the Lord. How sad. But when we got to the empty tomb, two angels asked them a question. "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" These women were lost in despair, lost in grief. They went to the last place where they had seen Jesus, and that was just before sundown on Friday. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took Jesus' body down from the cross and hurriedly laid it in the tomb of Joseph, wrapped it up, gave some spices, and rolled the stone there. And when you hear that question, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" the natural answer is our first point. Where else would he be? These women had gotten up early in the morning, that Sunday morning, out of love for their Lord, gathered some spices and some ointments, new cloths. They were going to go and give Jesus a proper burial. But as they were walking, they thought of such practical things like, who's going to roll away that big stone for us to get into the tomb? But when we got to the tomb, it was not at all as expected. The stone was rolled away. The guards were gone. They looked inside. They saw grave clothes scattered around and some linen wrapped up very neatly where Jesus' head had lain. But there was no body. That's when two of the angels asked that question, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." Those words sound like a rebuke to you? Yes, they were. They were a rebuke to those women by these angels. They should have known better. They should have understood that Jesus was not going to be dead still on that Easter morning because he had told them over and over again. He had given them enough examples for that. Remember we said on Good Friday, at least three times he said, "The Son of Man will go and be delivered to evil men, he will be crucified, and he will rise again the third day." But they didn't understand. They failed to grasp the simple sense of what he told them. Maybe the disciples thought he was talking parables. Maybe they're looking for a deeper meaning. They just didn't understand that. And so these angels were really asking these women, "Why didn't you understand? Why didn't you grasp that?" They should have known better. just a few weeks earlier, that same Lord and Savior Jesus raised a dear friend of theirs, Lazarus, from the dead, just a few miles away in Bethany. And I'm sure they knew about the other resurrections that Jesus had performed. But maybe they thought, well, Jesus is dead, but who's going to raise Jesus now that he's dead? All those miraculous resurrections that Jesus performed was to show his disciples that he had power not only over life, but also over death. The angels continued in speaking to the women, "Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again?' They should have trusted that promise and come with joyful hearts, rejoicing to an empty tomb. But instead, fear and doubt and grief and sadness filled their hearts and their minds. And they were sadly coming to find the dead Jesus." The angels rebuked those women because angels are holy. They look at life in the same perspective that God looks at life. And so they're speaking for God here. Now we can excuse the women as much as we want because of their weak faith. And yet it doesn't change the fact that they should have had the spiritual insight and the strong faith to comprehend, understand Jesus' words and know that he was risen, especially at this most horrible moment in their life. So why would we want to defend and excuse the women? Well, the answer is obvious, isn't it? All you got to do is look in the mirror. These women love Jesus very much. And I know you and I love Jesus very much too. But our faith is often just as weak as theirs. When we hurt, when we have troubles, trials, tribulations come our way, when life seems unbearable, or we're facing death, either our own death or the death of loved ones, the natural response in our life is simply to try to cope with that day. It's natural to tell ourselves there's going to be trials, there's going to be troubles, there's going to be tribulations, there's going to be death in our life. But the natural response to all those things is usually sadness and grief and sorrow. Sometimes even doubt and fear. And just focusing on the practical needs of that moment. While Jesus and all of his promises aren't even in the picture. Is that very different than the way these women responded early on Sunday morning? Just doing that dreadful task of having to give Jesus that proper burial? Well, these angels owe every one of us the same rebuke. Oftentimes, we live as if we're looking for a dead Jesus. But they said, after that rebuke, "He is not here, but is risen." In his great love, Jesus did the impossible. He died on Good Friday, was placed in the grave, and he rose from the dead. He rose so that all those who died trusting Jesus, no matter how weak their faith is, are assured of a resurrection to everlasting life. And day by day, that power of the resurrection, that gospel message of Christ risen from the dead, strengthens our faith so we can face the troubles and trials of life, face even death, ours or our friends, our loved ones, with the joy of knowing that as he lives, so shall we live. So, what difference does it make if you look for a name on a mailbox or if you look for a name on a tombstone? You find many names on both, right? But only one of those will you be able to speak to a friend in only one of those places. Not the tombstone, but the house. That's what the angels are trying to tell these women by saying, why do you look for the living among the dead. But some people might ask, what difference does that make? It makes all the difference in the world. All too often, when our faith is weak, when we're dissatisfied and not content with the way our life is going, when we feel guilty or full of doubts, we often look for Jesus in all the wrong places or act as if he's not alive to hear us. Where are we supposed to find Jesus? Dead in the grave? No, we find him only in one place. And that's in his word. We find him in the word that's preached to us every Sunday. We find him in our Bibles where we read it at home in our Bible devotions. We find him in our baptisms where we are told our sins are washed away. We find him in communion as we partake of his body and blood. We find him in that glorious gospel message of the resurrection. Most people think the natural place to look for Jesus is in their own hearts. They'll find him within their own brains, their own minds. And that's not where you'll find him. You'll find him in his word. The angels told those women, that's where they should look. They said, don't you remember what he said to you? They told him, remember the gospel. Jesus said he would die, and he said he would rise again. And Jesus says the same thing to us. We can't trust our hearts. We can't trust our reason. Our hearts are filled with sin. We come up with all kinds of false, wrong ideas. If we go looking for the word of God, if we imagine that someone's going to speak to our dreams and speak to our emotions and speak to our feelings without the word of God, then it's like looking for the living in the graveyard. The great irony of this resurrection story is that Jesus is not found where people expect him to be. He's not found in the grave. He's found where he said he would be, in his word, in the resurrection, in his gospel message. The angel of the tomb knew that. So they repeated the message that Jesus had said to them earlier, which they didn't understand. He said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. If the disciples and the women had understood that, that weekend from Good Friday to Easter would have been completely different. They would have come with joyful hearts, but instead, their hearts were shattered. Their spirits were broken. They had no comfort. No peace, no joy. All they could do was carry out that dreadful task that was at hand to give him a proper burial. Jesus' words were still powerful, but they did not comprehend him and not understand him because Jesus was not the kind of Jesus they wanted him to be. They didn't believe that Jesus' purpose was to come to die. But that's exactly why Jesus came into this world. He came to die for you, and for you, and for me. He came to die because our hearts are sinful. Because we look for Jesus in all the foolish places our hearts tell us to. And they're all the wrong places. And he has to lead us again and again and again back to his word, back to the gospel, because every sinful heart deserves to die. Every sinful heart deserves to go to hell. And Jesus died to pay for the guilt of every sinful heart. Yours and mine as well. And then Easter Sunday, he rose. His resurrection proves that God accepted all that Jesus had done. He fulfilled God's promises of our salvation completely. Every sinner has his sins forgiven. He paid for all of our sins. And by his resurrection, he assures us all that debt has been paid. Our account has been wiped clean. He now declares us to be righteous in his sight. And not only do we live with Jesus here on this earth, but someday we will live with him forever. That's what the angels meant when they said to the women, remember how he spoke to you? Luke then writes, and they remembered his words. suddenly it all came flooding back to them. That phrase, they remembered his words, is the Holy Spirit working on their hearts to strengthen, to sustain, confirm that faith that they had, that Jesus had told them before. And now they were rejoicing, and they believed the resurrection. Not because they saw it, but because they heard it, were told it, and believed it. And they ran to tell the other sad, despairing disciples. Jesus' return to life brings us to new life. We don't look for him in a graveyard somewhere, but he had a first look for us in a spiritual graveyard. For our hearts were dead, dead in trespasses, dead in sins. But by his resurrection, he destroys death. He conquered sin. It creates new life, and it changes who we are. It changes what we are. The truth is that on our own, we can't find Jesus. On our own, we'd be looking in all the wrong places. On our own, we would be looking to the living and the dead. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit has he been able to lead us to confess our sins and see that Jesus lives and reigns now, forever, and ever. Today, we celebrate the fact, the accomplished fact, beyond doubt, of Jesus' resurrection from the grave. We celebrate that God sent the angel to roll away the stone, not to let Jesus out, but to let us see in that Jesus was risen, that he no longer is dead, but he is alive forevermore. We don't need to go to a graveyard to look at Jesus. We don't need to tend to his dead body in some grave. He's not there. He's risen. He's alive. And because he is alive, our sins have all been wiped out and thrown away. Because he's alive, we now live in new life with him here on this earth. Faith with him and faith in him. And because he's alive, we too, someday, will live with him forever in heaven. For where else would he be? Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.